Redefining America, Constitution and Leadership 2010. This is Mark Seltzer.
This is Jessica Piccolo.
Environmental disaster or environmental awakening? What is happening off the southern coast of the United States? Jessica, this is clearly an environmental disaster, but there's a lot more to it. What's struck you so far?
What struck me so far is the sheer inability for anybody, whether it's the government or the private sector or the nonprofit sector, to get their arms around the scale and the significance of what's going on in the Gulf Coast region right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. So initially BP said, well, yes, there's this tragic oil rig fire and disaster, but it doesn't seem like there's much oil. Maybe it's just superficial oil from the rig. Then, you know, a day or two later, well, there's somewhat of a spill. And the U.S. government is saying, well, we're listening to BP. It doesn't seem like it's terrible. They've got this valve that seems to have worked to stop it. Everything was wrong step by step. They haven't been able to understand the extent of the disaster. And even now, I think I read something saying 210,000 gallons a day, they believe, are coming out of the seabed. And yet they're not sure if it couldn't be up to 10 times that much. So the scale of disaster potentially is horrific, and we're not quite sure.
It also strikes me as very interesting that this seems to be one of the few areas of industry where we have significant and sophisticated technology to explore, but there seems to be an inability to reverse engineer to basically stop something like the volcano under the sea that we've got going on right now.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of some of the arguments that came up in terms of the bailouts. When the oil company profits, it and its shareholders make the profits. But when there's a disaster, the public, the taxpayer, is going to pay. We're going to pay because of their Coast Guard and what it's required to run a Coast Guard and to develop the means to save us from these kinds of disasters. And also the public, everybody from the fishermen to restaurateurs, hoteliers, and, you know, tour operators, everybody in that part of the world is going to suffer in the long term, even if they can make some kind of claims initially for loss. You know, there's no kidding ourselves that a lot of people aren't going to pay dearly.
Well, and it also shows that this is a disaster that's going to take some time to really unfold in terms of an ability to measure that. I know that BP has gone around and tried to seek releases from fishermen in the immediate future to say, we understand that, you know, your shrimp harvest for this year is gone. So how about we pay you up front and here is what you will get for your harvest this year, and then you release any claims against us. I think that we need to be very careful and take a breath and say, okay, we need to make sure that we have the ability to have BP fully account for the damage that they've done, both environmentally and economically, because the impact on the Gulf Coast region looks like, by early accounts, to be significant and not one that can be easily remedied in the short term.
Yeah, that's terrible to think of somebody down there who is afraid for their income. Already we're in such a weak economic climate, so people are afraid of their jobs. But somebody working afraid of their income over the next 6 months who feels compelled to take some kind of a settlement offer. I mean, they should be given money to make sure that they can survive right now. Mm-hmm. They should not be signing any kind of, or being forced into signing any kind of releases when they have no idea whether this is 10 years of loss or simply a season.
And we'll see a trickle-down effect to this too. I mean, if, you know, at least a half of the oysters that are harvested, for example, in the United States come from the Gulf Coast region, what's that going to do to the restaurant industry in the next 2 to 3 years? And do we want to be, from a food safety, selling oysters a year after one of the largest environmental contaminations in our history?
Yeah.
So the ripple effect in other areas of policy is just starting to emerge. And we're going to have a serious and long-term conversation about this. And my only hope is that because the disaster is of such a magnitude that it forces everybody to really take a look and craft some smart policy for the future, because I don't think that there is smart policy going on right now in terms of our environmental policy.
It's interesting that this happened just weeks after President Obama's new policy of allowing some offshore oil drilling. Now, of course, they've come back off of that and they've said no, as a moratorium, at least for the moment, until we find out what caused the oil spill and the disaster. But the idea that oil companies may have saved a little bit of money by not using redundancies in their valves and in their security emergency systems just is crazy. I mean, I'm reminded of Chernobyl with this idea of everybody acting like, well, how do we know this was going to happen? How could something like this happen? If the harm is so great as to be a catastrophe, we shouldn't have this kind of failure of imagination. We should be thinking, what do we need to do to protect ourselves? And to find out that they didn't do that for economic reasons is very alarming.
I also think it highlights a failure in regulatory policy too, this idea that somehow embracing free market principles means a hands-off regulatory approach. And I just don't think that's the case. And I think we're going to see increased calls for regulation and for government involvement. The oil company in this instance has proven itself not trustworthy to do its own policing, much like the banks did. And we've seen a big backlash against that. Well, there is a good argument to be made that the essential function of government regulation is public safety, and this is a public safety issue. So I think we'll see some movement in that regard, and I think that's a good thing.
You know, I hope the public isn't confused here, because there's been such anger, primarily over the economy, but anger against the government, the sense that the government failed to regulate. And here is another situation where it appears that the regulator is in bed with the oil companies, showing way too much friendly relationships between regulators and the oil companies they're regulating, rather than, you know, a strict supervisory role and strict scrutiny of what they're doing. So I hope this doesn't go to the public as though government is incapable of regulating, rather than questioning whether the Bush administration, Republican administration's vision, as you were saying perfectly, against regulation and against government implicates the Obama administration or the idea of government in some way, because that's the opposite lesson that we should be learning.
Absolutely. I mean, this is akin to the Ford Pinto explosions in the 70s that created the whole public safety vision of regulation in the auto industry, and that resulted in significant regulation in the airline industry. I mean, this is a safety issue at this point, not only in the immediate sense that it was a tragic workplace accident and 11 people lost their lives, but additionally to that, the countless thousands that potentially will lose their livelihood. It was a significantly polluted region to begin with. We don't know that this hasn't permanently and significantly altered that landscape in a way that is irreparable.
This, on top of the mining tragedy a few weeks before, on top of the financial crisis, it does give the Obama administration a chance to prove itself going forward by imposing stricter regulation, you know, serious oversight that is not just in name only, but really goes out and tries to make a difference in regulating. And give us a few years of that and then take a look at the record and see what the results are. I think it's a long-term view because, of course, accidents like this don't happen often. The last major oil rig spill of this kind of level was, I think, back in the 1960s in California. So it's been a long time. But we need to regulate and make these things as limited as possible. I think one of the things just to, we're going into the bigger implications, but just to update on what's going on the ground there is they apparently have been able to cap one of the wells, one of the spills, by a robot sub going down and putting a cap or a valve on a pipe. And they're now today working on the second major leak from the ground where they're putting a big building on top of it. And then they're intending to hook a pipe up to this structure that they've built and bring the oil up into a barge or vessel that'll contain it there. So hopefully that will work and things will start to look better, but it's still very uncertain. They've never done it at this depth before. So it's really an experimental procedure to work against the catastrophe.
And if that works, then what we have accomplished is to cut off the additional oil being pumped into the Gulf. We then have to figure out how the hell do we clean this up?
Right.
We've got a long road ahead of us and one that will take years and years. This is not a situation that I think is going away in a couple months. Who knows the impact on the tourist industry?
And they have those, the offshore islands and some of the natural terrain there has been under threat for a variety of reasons, development and other reasons. And they've been talking about how important those barrier islands are in light of increasing hurricanes, that it's really some of that barrier area that protects the shore from getting really pounded in hurricanes. And so there's real importance to getting policies right to protect the environment, protect what is there, and have a long-term plan rather than a short-term profit motive.
Well, I think you hit the ultimate dilemma perfectly when you said that the challenge for the Obama administration is to figure out a way to get people to trust government again, because this is ultimately one of the areas where government can do a significant amount of good. And if the will of the public is behind the government in crafting sound policy and policy that is geared towards safety and economic development, which are not opposing things, then we can create an opportunity out of this disaster.
It's that question of, you know, what is government anyway? Government is really a collective will of the people to achieve positive results, not to thwart individuals or to thwart private industry, but to channel it to positive overall gains and accomplishments for society. And it's a real opportunity here to put things right, and we'll wish them our best.
We've got our work cut out for us.
Thank you, Jessica. That's all we have time for today. This is Redefining America, Constitution and Leadership 2010, with Mark Seltzer and Jessica Piclo.